time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for March 13th. Yes, March 13th. I guess this is the weekend we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, so that's coming up in the next week. But interesting thing that most of the restaurants and like adult drink or beverage drink places aren't really going to be open to that 75% increase in crowd, but until 2 days after the 17th, I believe it is 19th, that things open up even more. But that's still exciting. It's going to happen. Too bad it's before, or it's going to happen after St. Patrick's Day. Danger, are you doing anything for St. Patrick's Day this weekend?
I am not, but I can already tell you I went to an establishment recently that was looking like it was open 100% and didn't care about laws. So,
well,
I'm not sure they're not going to be at that 75%.
You make sure you wear your mask, okay?
Oh, of course.
Hey, we got.
I'm only half vaccinated.
Yeah, that's right. Congratulations, I saw that today. Let me go through the stuff things. Holidays today, real quick. It's Earmuff Day, Genealogy Day, International Fanny Pack Day. Those are for all you Hulksters out there. Fanny Pack, International Fanny Pack. I guess that'd be if, like, say the Iron Sheik was wearing one, he'd be an International Fanny Pack wearer. Jewel Day and Smart and Sexy Day. Happy birthday to AEW Tag Champ Matt Jackson. He's 36 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And the world is opening up, so look for that real soon. But welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I'm your humble host, joined today by DC Dan Cole from North Carolina and the new abode. It's an interesting angle we got in here. Are you like in an attic or something?
I am in my dedicated room, and if it sounds echoey and I'm going to spoil the show, just tell me to go pound salt because I haven't really done anything in my space yet.
It looks great. You know what? You got to get some soundproofing on the roof, but you can do that another time. I think it sounds fantastic, and it's good to see you back. I'm glad you got into your new house last weekend.
Me too. I thought all you guys were coming to help. Where the hell were you?
Revolution. There was this terrible flare accident that happened. Explosions and everything, and we were dead. So, let me introduce the rest of the crew. We got the artiste, Rob Sanderson. How are you doing this morning, Rob?
I am free from any sparkler burns or anything. I'm doing well.
All right. God bless Ken Kingston there. Okay, Danger Boy right above you. Danger Boy, how's it going?
It's going well. I am most disappointed that Gilbert did not join the AEW roster with his entrance already playing and everything. I was surprised. I thought he was going to be the big surprise.
You know, yeah, Gilbert. Well, you know, and of course, Furby's joining us. How's it going, Furbs?
Doing well. Good morning, everybody. I guess everybody else got their fun out on AEW, so I'm just going to say nothing.
Oh, come on. We're not going to get in trouble or anything, I don't think. Maybe the Big Show will come visit us at home or something. Welcome
Did I miss something?
No. We were just doing some nice jostling on AEW. We'll talk about that in a minute, but welcome to the show. Got a lot of things to talk about this week. WWE is building up to WrestleMania, but Fastlane happens first. That's going to be going on a week from tomorrow. Tonight,
practice your race car noises.
Tonight, Impact Sacrifice is going to be on. If you have Impact Plus, we'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to talk about AEW's pay per view. Probably one of the best built up pay per views. I'll be honest with you. It really had a lot of time to build up. And last weekend, AEW Revolution 2021, and I know we all saw it. And if we didn't see it, then we've probably seen enough memes to tell us everything that happened. But it was a fun pay per view. I got to tell you, they started with a match with how do you say her name? Maki Ito. She came and joined. She tagged with Rio, Dr. Britt Baker against Rio and Thunder Rosa. That was on the pre show too, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was Maki Reed. Now, Danger, explain to me what you told me about this wrestler because I didn't really know the backstory until you said. Now you can only use such language, but you know what I mean.
Yes, she is a failed pop star in Japan and then went to wrestling.
Yes, and she's the queen.
And does her singing during the matches.
She does her singing during matches, and she's the queen of something, or she's the.
If you want some real entertainment, follow her Twitter.
Okay, she kind of misinterpreted something, and it's funny. But she nevertheless wrestled on the pay per view. Apparently, came in from Japan that day and didn't have to quarantine or anything, and wrestled on AEW Dynamite this past week, and that started the show off. It was nice. It was fine. I mean, I love Thunder Rosa, so I enjoy. A lot of those matches that we get with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, but that was just the warm up to everybody. Then they immediately start off with a tag match, Young Bucks taking on Chris Jericho and MJF. And Artis, you have to be happy. That's exactly what you wanted to happen with that match.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, going into the pay per view, that wasn't one of the matches that I necessarily was most excited for. But I, looking back at it, it might have been the match of the night, to be honest. I thought it was a really solid tag match. So
it was
to those four.
It was great. Of course, the Young Bucks defended their titles. And I guess I see now where the big picture is. And it'll come in later. We talk about, you know, MJF and Chris Jericho, because they did get a little taunted by a backstage interviewer saying, "You lost. What are you going to do now?" and stuff like that during the pay-per-view. But we next went to a Phoenix. That was that Casino Tag Team Royale. Man, that was something. I didn't really understand the rules of that until we started getting into it. But you could get thrown out and still your team could still be alive. You know, it basically was like a Royal Rumble type match where you got thrown over the top rope, landed on the ground, you were out. But if your tag team partner wins it, you win the prize. So, and we Rey Fénix ended up throwing out Jungle Boy at the end of it, and so Rey Fénix and Pac are going to get a tag title. They didn't get it on Wednesday. I don't think.
No, it was a singles match on Wednesday.
Yes, yeah, but I know that's coming up. They're going to get a title shot at the Young Bucks, which, of course, Phoenix.
And I know, like, we have this death triangle with Pac and Phoenix and Penta, but this feels kind of similar to what I've been talking about in recent weeks, where I didn't really like the guys put together in a tag team, like Jericho and MJF. Like, to me, the Lucha Brothers are the tag team of those three. Pac should be in singles matches, so I wasn't crazy with that result, to be honest.
If there was one match that I got wrong on the card, that was it. I thought they were probably going to go with Silver Reynolds or Jurassic Express. That was actually probably my favorite match of the show, the tag team battle royale. But I think they caught themselves in a little bit of a hole there with Pentagon being injured at the time. They built them Pac and Phoenix the tag team for a little bit while Penta was still out, and then just the way that it unfolded, I mean, then now they got Penta with Cody, but we'll see.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that at one time there was four Dark Order guys in the ring. You know, it's like maybe if they had just worked together and thrown everybody out at that point, then, you know, because, you know, I mean, they had the numbers in their favor. You know, you knew when there's eight guys. Well, how many guys are in the group? 10? I think 10 is the last one, including
it varies a little bit,
including negative 7. Including,
there's not a 9 anymore, and there's a 99, and so
okay. So, but there was 4 of them in that match at one time. So, thought that they had the advantage. And next up, we got Shida beating Mizunami, and that I'll be honest with you. I think that was what I was thinking about using the bathroom. Okay, no, I'm kidding. It was fun. I mean, I like Shida's a good worker. I enjoy Shida, but I think there's still some spark missing from the women's division. You know,
match made me like Shida a little bit more. She's been growing on me more and more as time goes on. I'm not really a Mizunami fan, to be honest. I think her offense did not look good in that match, and of the newcomers to the division, she's just not one of my favorites.
And I would say, you know, I don't even know how long she's going to be around. It seems like we get a couple of these foreign wrestlers that are gone now, you know, soon after they come. Next up was Miro and Kip Sabian defeating Best Friends. That is what it is, I guess. You know, I mean, Miro, I wish they, if they're going to push Miro like a monster, then wish they would start like immediately. I mean, he's pretty vicious in this match. He actually got some really great offense in. But I think that, you know, I think he's kind of like treading water until there's room for him to move up, because he really should be moved. I mean, he's one of the biggest guys there. He obviously, you know, people know him. But it is what it is. I mean, everyone loves Orange Cassidy, too. And it's like, you know, when he was kicking Miro in the shins, I mean, come on. It made me smile. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, Miro, I'm surprised, honest.
I was going to say, I think Miro is one of those guys that's a casualty of too many people on the roster, and he's somebody who we need to see in singles matches soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he just, when they debuted him, it was just at a difficult time, because as we've seen with AEW, when they bring in big signings, they were pretty much just jettisoning them right to the top. I mean, we've seen it with Brody, we saw it with Lance Archer, we saw it with Brian Cage. I mean, now maybe with another new signee.
We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't got there yet. It's coming up. It's coming up.
So I didn't name drop.
I know. But people know already. But
don't say Christian yet.
Yeah, not Christian Cage, in fact. He's got the full name again. You know, he's come back. But so we'll go a little bit quicker through. We got a good match from Adam Page versus Matt Hardy. I kind of enjoyed that match a lot. You know, Adam Page is obviously, you know, spending some money now that he got from Matt Hardy. But it was a fun match, and it was obviously, you know, if anybody you're going to get over and build up, Adam Page is a guy to go for in this company. I think he's got, you know, a buzz about him. Next up, Scorpio Sky defeated Cody Rhodes, Penta, Lance Archer, Max Caster, and Ethan Page. So Max Caster came out, and it was pretty funny. I mean, I enjoy, you know, listen, I'm dumb. I like stupid raps when people come out and, like, start ripping on people. And, you know, Caster does it every time, you know. I'm surprised that he's pretty funny, and it's like, and he's a big guy too. I mean, I'm actually impressed with, you know, but that was, and Ethan Page, sorry. Oh, forgot the big mystery guy. Ethan Page showed up, and Ethan, you know, we didn't get Karate Man, you know, we got Ethan Page, and, you know, it's good. I think he's a good thing. He's a good addition. He might be a guy that's going to take a while. You know, he's another guy, Rob, like you just mentioned, a guy they sign that they don't know, they can't really insert immediately into everything. But you know what? Ethan Page is kind of like such a young guy that he probably could, you know, be the guy to lose to the stars for a while before they start turning that around, you know? I mean, not a lot of people want to go out and lose, but if you can get TV time, the more time you're out there, I think that they can build upon it, you know? Like, you know,
he's somebody I really hope they have a plan for. I think that that was the match I was looking forward to the most, and something just seemed off about it to me. I really like all the competitors in the match, or at least most of them. And I don't know. It just, the pacing seemed kind of weird to me. I love the result of Scorpio Sky winning. I don't like necessarily that then his title opportunity is 3 days later and he loses, but at least we got a little bit of a heel turn there, and hopefully that actually goes somewhere. But it's nice to see Ethan Page there. Also, too bad that his singles debut gets ruined by NBA audio, thanks TNT. I don't know. That match to me, just whether Cody was hurt or, like, There were some really cool spots to it, but it just seemed very out of the right flow. I don't know.
I guess one thing we can say is Lance Archer is full face now. Okay, you know, I mean, without a doubt. Okay, now go Ferbs.
Well, but then he interrupts Sting on Wednesday, so like, is he still kind of back and forth? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good.
Just push him to the moon already.
Yes, please.
I was just going to say, for a multi-man match, it was really weird because it only seemed like there was only two guys in the ring at the same time.
There was a lot of there was a lot of people outside the ring or hiding in the corner. There was a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Like Rob said, but just the pacing of the match was really odd for, you know, that style of match being a six-way ladder match. It was like, it was almost too slow for a six-way ladder match. And it just, I wasn't expecting that.
I think
Penta pulled out some really cool stuff as we expected, and he's a good person to have in that match. He didn't really seem at 100%, and I think we could have maybe, in some circumstances, we would have seen more from him like we have in previous ladder matches. Phoenix is probably the guy that's a little better for that, to be honest, but is what it is.
Well,
Pac would have been exciting in it too.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it seems like Scorpio Sky, you know, it was just kind of like thrust into us a couple weeks ago and thrust into this match. And you know, it did feel, I don't know, kind of, it was weird how he won, and it was weird how the pacing of the match went. So I believe after this match, we got the announcement of who the big signee was, Christian Cage. Comes out, has a piece of paper in his hand, says contract, turns around, goes back in the backstage, and then boom, it turns into the theatrical presentation of Darby Allin and Sting versus Team Taz, where Darby Allin falls three stories through Brian Cage, and they both disappear into some sort of pit. That was interesting. I will say that. I mean, it was nice seeing Sting. I mean, obviously, Sting ends up getting the pin on Ricky Starks. And Darby Allin, I mean, if you remember anything from him, he looks kind of like a meteor coming through from the sky through Brian Cage. You know, if you see the video for that, it was pretty cool though. I mean, but I'm getting tired of these kind of matches like this. Just put it in the ring. You know, it doesn't got to be, you know, I don't know. They must have scouted places for a long time to find that, because it was a weird kind of building with like a staircase right in the middle of the hallway or something that went down. Or it looked like maybe it was like just a hallway vestibule that you could see like down three or four stories. But what did you guys think of that?
I thought it was, for a cinematic match, a little bit on the creative and different side. But I agree. I'm over the cinematic matches. I think it's very tough to kind of suspend disbelief. Maybe in some of these, you know, you see one guy throwing a strike in the ring and then the drone camera is shooting over them right to a conveniently timed kick that's 30 yards away down the hall, whatever. Like, it was cool the way it was edited. It looked kind of different. I don't need these to last forever. If we're going to get back to the point where, you know, wrestling starts traveling again and stuff, one of the best purposes it served is it was able to be played while they set up the main event. And what else are you going to do with that time? So
kind of what we
figured. I don't need one of those on every single AEW pay-per-view or any more from WWE either. I don't know.
Danger, what'd you think?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was good for what it was. I'm not really sure why there's a wrestling ring in an abandoned warehouse, but I've given up trying to figure out why there's wrestling rings in some of the areas they have them.
You mean the army of Stings didn't bother you coming through the crowd?
The army of Stings happened in WCW 20 years ago. It's okay with me.
Okay.
The bigger, like, at one point I thought Sting had a stunt double when he did the sunset flip because it looked too crisp for him. And another time when Sting hit, I don't even know who he hit with the bat, but when it broke, it definitely broke in a spot where bats don't break.
Oh yeah.
But other than that, it was a good time to set up the main event. It was what it was, and we got to see Sting look better in the ring than I thought he was going to. He actually wasn't that limited. So,
okay, guys.
I also didn't really love Shivani being like, "Oh my God, it's Hook!" Like, Can we stop acting like Hook is a big deal just to try to make Taz happy?
Here comes like, Peter Pan right in his tail.
He does one little like hip toss and it's a big like, no, he's Taz's son and he doesn't really deserve to be on TV right now.
Okay, guys, we got to take a quick break. We've got one more match on this pay-per-view to talk to, and maybe it'll fill up the whole next segment. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I know we were eight-ninths through Revolution, AEW's Revolution from last week, but we have one more match that we need to talk about, and that would be the Kenny Omega with Don Callis versus Jon Moxley in the main event in this exploding barbed wire death match. So, first of all, I need to explain the rules. If you hit the ropes, they explode, except for where there's only one section of the ropes that didn't have the barbed wire and explosions on, and that was the way you entered through the ring. If you landed on the ground, there was bombs all over the ground where there was barbed wire all over the ground. If you didn't finish the match in 30 minutes, all the explosions were going to go off. Now, they never really gave you something we learned while watching the match was after it was over that they were still going to blow up everything at the 30-minute point. Overall, it was a tough match. I'm not big into people pulling barbed wire out of their skin while they're wrestling. And I mean, yes, there's a lot of fixed and rigged sections. You could see it clear as day that there was no tongs on a lot of the barbed wire in certain areas where they were bouncing off the ropes. But there was some times where you know, Moxley had to pull it out of his back when he was thrown into the table. Kenny Omega had to pull it out too. When they got thrown outside. And there was a lot of that red stuff coming out of their heads, but I'm not big into these gimmicky matches. You're all waiting for the explosions. You don't care who they explode on. The explosions were nowhere near the wrestlers when they did happen. But I know we all have our opinions on the entire match, but the ending. When the match was over, yes, we have Kenny Omega won. Jon Moxley was like handcuffed and left in the ring because it's still going to explode at 30 minutes. And Eddie Kingston comes running from the back and covers up Jon Moxley to save him from the explosions. Then the explosions kind of were like a sparkler. It really wasn't. It wasn't what we were expecting for like explosions. And so and then Eddie Kingston sold it like he was blown up. So he was like dead. And so that's how the match ended. Now, Rob, what'd you think? I mean, well, overall, let's talk about the match before we talk about the screwed up ending.
All right. So the match itself, we talked about. I was not crazy about it when it was announced. I can handle a little bit of hardcore wrestling, but I don't want to see a ton of it, or like a fed that only does that type of stuff. The match itself was fine. And I think what sucks is like these guys did take a beating. They each got plenty of very real barbed wire in their skin. The problem is where there's the other stuff that makes it look cheesy. It kind of takes away from everything and makes it all not look legitimate. When a guy is running toward the ropes and the explosion goes off a foot before they hit the ropes, things like that, I just don't think it looks good. And it kind of devalues everything. So, we'll talk about the post-match stuff. It was fine, but I hope that this was a one-time thing. And I don't know. It is what it is. It was not my favorite match of the night, but I knew going into it that it wasn't going to be.
Yeah, me too. Danger?
But credit to those guys because they took a beating.
Yeah, it's just like Rob says, it's not my thing anymore. There was a time when I was a little more into this, but that was years and years and years ago. But for what it was, they did a pretty solid job, and those guys did a good job of mapping out the match and playing with it, especially when they did the kick out but the ending of the One Wing Angel when he touched the ropes and caused the explosion. That was a pretty cool spot. But like also like Rob said, they had times where they would show he would hit the, you know, Moxley would hit the ropes and the explosion would happen, but you could tell it was under the ring. Or when they landed on the board outside, you could tell the explosion was underneath the part of the board that was on the far other side of the setup, stuff like that. So I thought they had a good job. Those matches built such such heightened sense of what you want to see happen. There's everyone's waiting for something, and almost never do they ever deliver. So if they never do another one of these, it's probably for their benefit. And that's without even going into the ending of it.
Verbs.
It, the biggest thing is when they did do a match like this, you're taking a huge calculated risk. And unfortunately, they got something that didn't live up to the hype of what everybody was expecting. And for a lot of people who have not seen this style match before or even ventured into hardcore wrestling, they probably overthought of what they may actually have been getting. Overall, the match I thought was very good. I'm not going to repeat a lot of the stuff that everybody else said because I agree there's some spots that it was a little weird. But overall, the workaround of the actual match of it being a barbed wire hardcore match style, I thought those two guys showed a lot of chemistry in that style of match.
DC, what did you think?
I mean, from what little I saw, I'll echo a lot of the same sentiments that have been shared. I'm not particular to that style of match. I'd much rather have a classic wrestling match, especially with guys like Moxley and Omega, who you know can pull that off. Although, you know, right now Moxley has this reputation where he can only compete in gimmick style matches. If you're going to have a cinematic match, that's one of the ones where maybe you take advantage of that. Although, yeah, I'd be okay with never seeing another cinematic match again.
But
they tried something different, and pun intended or not, it kind of blew up in their face.
Yeah, and poor Eddie Kingston, you know, had to die to his own petard for nothing. So on that note, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and it's easy to talk about like afterwards, like, you know, the way they tried to make up for it. I don't know. I think there could have been better approaches.
Yeah, on that note, we're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk about things that happened during the week. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Furby, Danger Boy, and Rob Sanderson, the Artiste. And we are back, and we are talking pro wrestling. And thank you for joining us every Saturday morning. Couldn't do it without Salvatore's, man. Next time you're going to get some food, check out Salvatore's full menu. They've got so much more than just pizza, but pizza is pretty good still, too. And garlic bread, I believe. Mr. Artiste, right?
Absolutely. And go with the old-fashioned pepperoni.
Yes, the little circles. Little
underrated.
Ones. Just tell me what the little
ones.
A lot
of people just go the standard old pepperoni. Go with the old-fashioned.
Cool. So,
the cup and char, if you will.
Mm-mm. So, following the pay-per-view we just talked about, AEW Revolution, we've got AEW Dynamite this week, where they, you know, everyone who's a fan and had to and kind of like put their own two cents in about what happened with the exploding ring, and you know, how was AEW going to handle it, and they kind of handled it. I don't know. I think they blamed Kenny Omega for it. Kenny Omega kind of cut a promo where he said that, you know, that they had beaten them senseless, and then they tricked them to make him think the ring was going to explode. What'd you guys think of the explanation of the whole exploding ring fiasco?
Weak.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's easy for us to talk about all the better ways they could have done it, but I don't know. To me, like, okay, once that happened, like, if you're backstage, like, immediately get Omega and the Good Brothers, like, force them back out on stage and, like, have them just, like, point, like, starting, you know, point at them and laugh. Or, like, give them a hot mic, be like, you actually thought I would, like, put myself at risk like this? Something other than playing it off like, oh, he built it, but he built it shoddily, like, I don't know.
Danger.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there's any way to actually get out of it. I don't think there's really a perfect solution, to be honest. I mean, it sucked what happened. The one thing I want to add is this maybe would have worked better before high-definition television, too. Maybe we wouldn't have so many things to be critical about. And obviously, we're also in an era where all of us and everybody else watching is going to criticize every little thing. We're going to look for things to pinpoint and stuff. And there were times during the match where I kind of tried to just sit back and let myself just be entertained and know what it was. But the explanation is what it is. I don't know. I don't like it, but in a perfect world, I guess there would have been a better explosion, and then Moxley would have just taken some time off.
Robbie, the one positive maybe is
now we get a pretty good tag match next week, at least, with Moxley and Kingston against the Good Brothers. Looking forward to that. Kingston's promo was awesome on Wednesday. I will say that, where they were sitting with that fire, him and Moxley together. That, I thought, was just another showcase of how good of a talker Eddie Kingston is.
You made a point, Rob, during the when we after the pay-per-view, that if they had just cut the pay-per-view off early, we wouldn't have had to deal with that.
Oh my God, it was agonizing. Like, this is, you think about television and stuff, and like, you have to leave cliffhangers. You have to make people want more, especially when something goes wrong like that. Like, yeah, it's going to seem stupid if there's sparklers and then it cuts to black, but that was, thank you for mentioning it, that was one of my biggest criticisms, is it just went on and on, and it was like, can you please end this pay-per-view already? Because nobody knows what's happening, nobody knows what to do, and nobody's giving a message to Eddie Kingston in the ring, be it the doctor, be it a referee, somebody with an earpiece, hey bud, this didn't go as planned, so stop acting like you're dead. That's not Kingston's fault whatsoever. How is he supposed to know? But somebody's got to communicate that with him.
Yeah, they definitely left Kingston and Moxley sitting out there, you know, hanging to dry. And they didn't have a backup plan in case it didn't go as well. And they sold it like everybody was dead. And so any explanation you have after that falls on deaf ears, because you sold it like they were really dead, like they got blown up. I understand that Moxley cut a great promo after, like, hey, you know, we're still here, blah, blah, blah type deal. And Tony Khan ran with it because you got to do something. I think it would matter if you just own up to it and you move on.
Yeah.
The best thing that happened to them is that Eddie Kingston was involved in that angle, because Eddie Kingston is the only one who can verbally talk himself out of it. And he did. Other than that, it kind of looked terrible, and you just own it and move on.
I think, you know, you're right. And maybe we should move on from that, 'cause there's some other things that happened on Dynamite this week besides the explanation. Christian Cage comes out. He's got a contract now. They immediately throw. Kenny Omega gets into it with them. So now it looks like you know obviously Christian Cage has come to wrestle. You know, and he's going to be thrown right up in the top immediately. That's a good thing, I think. You know, I mean, Christian Cage, you know, I mean, you saw, I'm sure you've seen the pictures online where he, like, turned his body around, and now, like, is in, you know, in great shape and everything, and he's got the six-pack going on, and, you know, he tried to do the finisher on Kenny Omega, his finisher, you know, and again, Kenny got pulled out by the ring, but, you know, that was... I think, you know, what do you guys think of Christian Cage? You think, I mean, it's another guy signed immediately, and now not, so either he's Miro, who's like kind of waiting to get a chance, or, you know, he's thrown in right with the champ. So what do you think, Ferbs?
I overall like the signing. I don't understand a lot of the heat and a lot of the social media groups that I'm in of why people were upset with Christian Cage. I mean, you got exactly what they wanted, a Hall of Fame caliber talent who still has something that he wants to prove in the ring. I mean, what else did you expect? Other than that, I'm excited for it to see kind of what we get. Obviously, he's motivated to get back in the ring and show that he's still got something left in the tank. I don't know where you go from here. If, you know, after Omega, because he's not going to beat Omega at this point. So if there's an AEW championship match with Christian and Omega, Omega's got to continue to win, not clean, in his heelish ways.
I don't know if I would agree in that, because when he went to TNA, and then, you know, that a lot of people say that he, you know, he had his best run as a champion when he was with TNA. They put the belt on him the first chance they got. So I think he's not a bad guy to put it on. You know, I mean, if you're going to take, but think about what you could do with him. You could have him take on anybody in that, you know, in the roster, back to Moxley or anybody.
I agree with that 100%. And I think Christian's deserving. The only issue is that if you're going to go and call Omega this title belt collector. He's already the AAA champion. He's the AEW champion. He's probably going to win the Impact Championship. Then really, why take the AEW championship off of him then? That's I guess that's my thought process.
Well, because he won it. He's cheated. What about Danger? What do you think?
So, but I don't mind him coming in and working with Omega. I don't want him to work with Omega too long. He's there for a reason. He's there to help people be ready for TV. Not everybody they put on TV every week is 100% ready to be on TV every week. So I want to see him more of that role with helping out with younger guys and getting people ready to be groomed for being upper card people in the show. And to counter Furby's point where people are complaining, they built up this hype of a Hall of Fame caliber person. And for a lot of people who watch TV, especially if you are younger and you haven't watched that much wrestling, you don't know Christian as a Hall of Fame caliber person. You know Christian as someone who you've seen matches of him with as Edge's partner, and you've seen some stuff he may have done with Randy Orton, and that's it. So there's a lot of people who don't view Christian as a Hall of Fame caliber person, and they were expecting, because of the hype and everything that was built up on this announcement, you're expecting someone the likes of Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, or that type of height. And yeah. Personally, I love his Christian Cage. I love Christian. I think he's a great wrestler, but I can see why some people are disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, there was rumors of Batista being backstage earlier that day. There was rumor, you know, I mean, they were trying. Kurt Angle was putting up some kind of vague videos on his Twitter feed. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. But as soon as the interesting thing is they played like his TNA music when he came out.
He likes that music, and I mean, it was kind of the whole countdown and everything was familiar. So I like Christian a lot. I think he is absolutely Hall of Fame caliber. I think he's a great addition for the company. I don't think he should go right into anything with Omega. I think that's a big mistake. We were talking about that earlier in the show. And I mean, it seems like maybe Sting is the only one who hasn't come in and immediately been like in the world title picture, which I like it being like that. Christian's not going to beat Omega. He should not beat Omega now, maybe in the future. But the problem is AEW wants to be different, and they really need to be limited in terms of how many guys they end up putting the world title on that were WWE guys. He's always going to be labeled as a WWE guy, even though he won his first world title in TNA and all of that. So I'm happy he's there. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. I wish it was not going to be a throwaway match with Omega first, because that's what I feel like we're going to get.
Okay, and one last thing before we go to break. We had the last 15 minutes of AEW Dynamite this past week. We saw a complete, I guess it would be a double turn, a complete heel turn, and maybe a face reaction from Chris Jericho as MJF takes over the Inner Circle. And pretty much most of the guy in, and after Sammy Guevara shows up and shows Chris Jericho the video of MJF, you know, convincing everybody to be on his side, and then they just stomp Jericho. What'd you guys think? I mean, that was exciting. I think that, you know,
well, he didn't take over the Inner Circle. The Inner Circle got all beat up.
Yeah.
He started his own six horsemen or whatever they're going to call it.
Well, yeah, but
he
was pitching the Inner Circle to join him. You know? Yes. And we got like this smudge at the end of the show where, you know, but Jericho was beaten and bloodied on the, you know, and so it's interesting. What'd you guys think? I mean, is that, you know, that put a spark into like what was been going on with the Inner Circle? I mean, we always loved MJF and Jericho. I think the funny thing is they've had less time in the last few weeks to really be individuals when it comes to cutting their promos and stuff. Ferbs?
I loved it. I was super pumped about the whole scenario, to be honest. I knew it was, because this type of split was inevitable. We were going to get it eventually. I had no clue, and wasn't even thinking that it would have lead to MJF's own faction. I thought MJF was going to try to take over the Inner Circle, and it was going to be end of that. The fact that now he's with a completely different group, I popped for it this past week. I was super excited.
Danny?
Yeah, I love the makeup of the new group. Absolutely love it. I've always been a fan of, you know, FTR, Sean Spears back when he was, you know, Ty Dillinger. I always thought, you know, an underutilized talent. And now throwing in MJF and Wardlow, I love the composition of that group. My only gripe, if I had to have one, is there any standalone talent right now in AEW?
No. True. Everybody's no, faction. You
have to be in a faction or a group.
Yeah, apparently so.
Like,
yeah.
I find that fascinating. That gang warfare. To be on your own.
Yeah, gang warfare in AEW. There. Yeah, you're right. You know it's. Well, you know,
it's basically New Japan in the States.
Everybody's
got to be in some kind of a faction. I feel like I would like this new stable a little more, to be honest, if it didn't have like Tully and Wardlow and everybody. Like, there's so many people there. There's so many stables, and are the Inner Circle now going to be tweeners? Are they baby faces?
I think they. Yeah,
I mean, because you lost Dark Order from being heels to now faces. MJF, I mean, should lead a top heel faction.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that. I like that. But I guess, you know, we'll see how it plays out. It was, I don't know if that, maybe that was a triple swerve, but I mean, it was a fun ending to the show for sure.
Definitely. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break on that. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280, or find us on Facebook. Find us on Facebook and leave us a message. You are listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. This is our last segment for Saturday. Thank you so much for listening. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by Furby, Danger Boy, BRT, Rob Sanderson, and DC Dan Cole. And we're from all over the place. I'm the only one downtown here. But got some news we want to get out of the way real quick. Tickets on sale for WrestleMania Tuesday. If you want to go to WrestleMania down in Raymond James Stadium down there in Tampa, tickets will be on sale Tuesday. Get them while you can if you're going, because I'm guessing they're going to go quick. And it's like every day, we figured it out before the show started. They're going to have wrestling events Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be 7 straight days of wrestling events down there. So keep your eyes open if you want to go or not. And if, you know, let's hope, but they haven't really announced capacity yet, but Vince doesn't want to do the cardboard cutouts. We're going to have big gaps, I think, in the crowd. We'll see what happens. But that's happening Tuesday. So if you want to buy them, get on Ticketmaster and hit reload, you know, kind of like the people who are doing it for the COVID vaccinations, you know. You know, you've been practicing doing that for a long enough time. Now you can do it for getting WrestleMania tickets. And also, I'm sure you have to have a COVID test, too, so be prepared to do that. And if you don't believe in this thing is going on, like a couple people out there don't, then just ignore it totally, guys, because you're not going to be let in. Real quick, some Hall of Fame. WWE announced that their 2020 and 2021 Hall of Fame classes will be inducted on the Peacock Network, because remember, we're going to the Peacock this week coming up on Friday, I believe. It's the 18th, that's when WWE hands.
Too bad most of the content's not.
Yeah, I know. That's what there's a note about what's going to be missing. There's going to be a lot of stuff missing for a while. So if you want your content, watch it now, folks, because it's gonna disappear. But the 2020 class, I'll remind you who was in it: Batista, the NWO, the Bella Twins, JBL, Davey Boy Smith, and Justin Thunder Liger. And that will be the ceremony will be delayed due to the pandemic. That ceremony was. But we got one announcement this week of someone going in for 2021, Molly Holly. What was her superhero name?
Mighty Molly, isn't it?
Mighty Molly.
Yeah.
Mighty Molly. Very cool. A girl, a lady, a wrestler that Danger and I met when she was in WCW, when she was part of the Madness with Macho Badness group there. She was like the one hanging out with that. What was the Macho, his gorgeous George, his girl, and her. They were like the gang. So congratulations, Molly Holly, for going in 2021. Some other news. AEW World Champion Kenny Omega set to return to Impact Wrestling for a major title versus title match at the upcoming Rebellion pay-per-view. This came out this past week. They're going to have this weekend Swan versus Moose. That's going to take place in Sacrifice on Impact Plus. And the winner of that is going to take on Kenny Omega. And both belts will be on the line, I believe. So not only do they get merged when Swan takes on Moose tonight, on Impact Plus, but then the winner of that's going to take on Kenny Omega, which is probably going to sell some tickets for this Rebellion pay-per-view. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm glad they're continuing. You know, it seems like, you know, I don't think Impact's really getting the benefit anymore, but you got to, you know, it's, we'll see what happens. There's a master plan that we don't know what's going on. I'm just guessing. that. AEW, let's see, some more news. All the different people that showed up on AEW Revolution, I guess they had to keep those people hid and, you know, not make. But you know what? The guy, the wrestlers in AEW and the people who work for them are very good at not leaking stuff. Much unlike the WWE, when Vince McMahon just kind of had a meltdown last week where he's like keeping everything secret in WrestleMania, AEW trusts their people. And so I think that's pretty wild.
I think a lot of that has to do with how happy those guys are.
What was that?
I think that a lot of that has to do with the AEW, how like they talk about the family atmosphere and how happy they are to be there. And then you look at other companies, past and present, and how disgruntled locker rooms are, where they don't really care if stuff leaks or it's politics and all that. You just don't see that at this point with AEW.
Yeah. So
they'll keep secrets.
So March 18th, this Thursday, March 18th, WWE and Peacock announced the WWE content will begin to roll out on the Peacock platform. We mentioned earlier there's some stuff that's going to be missing. But
it'll be there by SummerSlam.
Yeah, by SummerSlam. You know? When's that?
Can we just roll out? Can they just move to Peacock at SummerSlam then?
Yeah.
I need my superstars.
Yeah.
From 1994.
Seriously. So some other news. We got a couple of pieces of news and we got to get out of here. Stars has revealed their first look at their main character in the upcoming show, Heels, that they've been putting together. Stephen Amell, who is the Green Arrow or Arrow, he plays a wrestler, and his brother Ace Spade, played by Alexander Ludwig. And when I see that picture, I think it looks just like Dalton Castle. You know, it's like, have you seen that picture of Stephen Amell with his wrestling brothers? It looks a lot like Dalton Castle. It shows a picture of them before they're heading through the curtain. It's pretty cool that, and a lot of wrestlers showed up on making of this show. CM Punk's in it, Doc Gallows, Stevie Richards, Luke Hawks, who I believe was in, he was in Ohio. Was it Ohio Valley Wrestling? I remember the name. I know, but he's like the guy who's in charge of, he's a stuntman who's in charge of all the wrestling coordination on the show. And he's got a brother, Perry Hawks, who's going to be wrestling on it as well. Supposedly Mick Foley's going to be on it. So we got to look for that soon on Stars, which it's interesting. I like, this weekend we have Impact Sacrifice. It's tonight. We get Rich Swann with the Impact title versus Moose, and the TNA title is like the main event, which I'm looking forward to. We'll see. Got Deonna Purrazzo taking on ODB for the Knockouts champion. ODB's showed up in the last few weeks. I think that's going to be a blast. Got the Good Brothers taking on Finn Juice, which is David Finley and Juice Robinson, the guys who came over from New Japan. Maybe they're still working in coordination with them. Probably are. They're going to be taking them on for the tag champs. So it seems like every title is on. TJB's taking on Ace Austin for the Impact division, which is definitely Fire and Flava. Going to be taking on Jordan Grace and Jazz for the tag team titles. And we got a couple other tag team matches on the card. We have Chris Sabin and James Storm, which is and with Jake Something being with them. They've been tagging since Chris Sabin lost his partner earlier. I think by injury. I'm not really sure why he's not. But taking on Violet by Design, Diener and Doring with Eric Young. That'd be pretty cool. The K. Black Taurus, Crazy Steve with Rosemary versus Reno Scum. And Reno Scum is back in Impact. If you may have seen that, may not, but that's kind of. And they got intergender tag match. Havoc and Navai taking on. Is that how you say it?
Navea.
Versus Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K. And Eddie Edwards taking on Brian Myers. So we got a lot of great matches. This sounds like a good Saturday night, man. If you want to sit in and watch some wrestling, this sounds like a lot of fun. I like what they do on their, you know, they've been doing the crowdless pay-per-view, which is great. And I didn't mean to say that Revolution, AEW Revolution last weekend had a crowd. And it was, I mean, the biggest crowd they've had, I think, since things been shut down. And I was pretty impressed. They were loud. I think Impact will have no crowd again. And I think that the last pay-per-view they had, it was pretty exciting without a crowd. So definitely looking forward to that. One last piece of news before we get out of here. Joey Mercury's filed a lawsuit against Ring of Honor and Sinclair Broadcasting. It was filed in the state of Maryland, where Sinclair Broadcasting resides, over forced resignation and for being misclassified as independent contractor, I believe. I'm not sure. I know that he was upset that there were people, they were putting people in danger, physical danger. And I guess someone got a concussion and they just wanted to keep them wrestling or something. And he kind of... flipped out about it and wouldn't and quit or got fired because he wasn't allowing someone to wrestle who may have had a concussion. And safety protocols and available medical supervision during matches weren't there. So Joey Mercury, you might remember him from Eminem, you know, with Morrison and Mercury and Melina.
Who could forget Melina?
She just turned 42, by the way, the other day. So happy belated birthday. Guys, we got to get out of here. I want to tell everyone they can check out all our shows on thepainclinic.net, on iTunes. You guys have a great week. You know, enjoy. We had like some incredible warm days this week, and now it's getting cold again on the weekend, which seems like, you know, normal. But man, it'll be warm soon. We'll be able to get out. You guys take it easy. Thank you so much, DC, Rob, Mr. Furby, and Danger. You guys have a great week. And oh, yeah, I've got to play some music to get out of here because I usually do that just to get out of here. So we'll get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks. Same bat time, same bat channel.